Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. He loves us so much. And this is another day that the Lord has given us. Today is May the 11th. It's a Monday, May the 11th, 2022. And it's another day that the Lord our God has given us. And these days are very precious now because His return is imminent. And once He returned and moved His people out of His way, and the judgment process, the seal judgments will begin. It's going to be a terrible place to be once the church is raptured. They won't have anybody praying anymore. The church will be gone. The life of the church will be gone. And what's left didn't serve God. They serve themselves. So things are not going to be the same, and the enemy will get away with more. Now, seeing that we still have a small amount of time, if we draw near to the Lord and He draw near to us, we can mount up. That's what I want to deal with this morning. The Lord put on my heart the way He wanted me to talk about how people measure the Word and the importance of measuring the Word. You know, the way we see things is the way we live. Jesus said Himself, "He that believe would do greater works than me." Now I'm going to go to that since I brought it up. That's St. John 14. And that's one of my favorite scriptures. I got a lot of scriptures that I love. My all-time favorite is, "When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He'll guide you into all truth." And that is amazing to me. We have access to all the knowledge of God, whatever we want to learn. And I have a method of learning. I put my questions before Him. I don't try to make it easy on God because He's God. He don't need me to make nothing easy. But if I want to know something, I ask. And I wait, and He reveals. That's how it works. And sometimes, in my early walk with Him, He would prepare me for the information I was going to receive. And sometimes when you want to tell other people, but the Lord had to prepare me to receive. So a lot of things that He taught me, I learned over the years, don't just blab everything He say. I wanted to for good reasons, but sometimes it would be over the top for people, you know. Because I asked, you know, He gave us all that right to do that. You can ask what you will, it'll be given. And Jesus said, "Knock, seek, and ask." He wants you to knock. He wants you to seek Him about things. And when I really wanted to know something, I stayed after God about it. And I suggest you do the same. Now, what I mean by that is the enemy don't want you to know, just like he didn't want Daniel to know. Daniel fasted 21 days. He didn't eat nothing. He didn't know how long this was going to take, so he didn't go without food. He just didn't eat it. He didn't eat anything that tasted good, and he didn't drink anything that tasted good. So Elder Lewis used to call that a Daniel fast, or no meats, no sweets. And that's what we like. So we like meats and sweets. That's the favorite things on the menu, and meant for many people. So I'm a vegetarian, but you know, you eat shredded wheat, you don't put sugar in it. You know, you eat to live until this thing is done. You stick with it. You stay after God about it. Now, when I do it all kind of ways. Sometimes I fast, sometimes I don't. When I'm seeking the Lord, I just ask and watch. I ask and watch. I say, "Lord, I'm going to learn this. I confess that I know what to do. So that when the Lord reveals it, I'll grab it." See, sometimes God answers people, but they don't. It's something that it goes against what they believe already. And they're reluctant to receive. And they wonder about it. And then they go ask another person, which don't know. So it's important when you're seeking the Lord for an answer. He knows how to give it to you where you can get it. And you have to stick with it. I mean, you have to mean business. You have to mean business. And but if you don't mean business, if you're half-hearted about it, you're not going to. James told us that if you're double-minded, you're unstable. You ain't gonna get nothing. That's important to know. If you're double-minded, you ain't getting nothing. That's how. And he said, let them know that they're not getting nothing, so that they'll stop. You have to believe God only. And you have to mean business. Elder Lewis said, and he was my pastor in the 80s. He said, get down to business with God and he'll get down to business with you. And I found that to be true. One of the best sermons. That's one sermon I just will never forget. Now, when you seek the Lord and stay after him about it, you're going to learn something. And in the meantime, while you're waiting on the answer, you serve God, and you, like my pastor said years ago, Pastor McCann, waiting on the Lord is not just sitting around twiddling your thumbs. It's more like a waiter waiting on tables. You're doing things. You're serving. You're in motion, doing things for God, doing the things that you should be doing, going to church and listening to the word. When I put petitions before the Lord, that's what I do. I listen because he might use somebody. I go to church, and when I need confirmations, many times, I don't know how many times, Pastor McCann, God will answer me through him, or his son, or sometimes in Sunday school, I get my answer. People don't know that they're being used. That's irrelevant. But God knows, they're there to speak by the Holy Spirit. And if you want to learn, he'll cause them to say what you need. They may not even understand what they're saying. But you get your confirmations and you get your answers. I used to do Elder Lewis like that. If I wanted to know something, I'd say, Lord, cause him to say what I need. And he'd do it. He worked with me like that for a long time. That's one way I learned to follow God. Now, when God reach out to you, and then he confirm it through somebody that don't know the person he gave you an answer through, or if he speaks something in your spirit and confirm it through another person or two or three, it's God. Only God can do that. When the enemy speaks, you don't have to be too concerned about being deceived, because the things that come from God is first pure. Nothing evil can come from God, just like nothing good can come from Satan. The things of darkness is crooked. There's an unrest to it. When the rich man, when the rich young ruler walked away and didn't follow Jesus, he walked away sorrowful. He knew he should have followed him. He lost peace when he walked away. Your heart had, when you're reluctant, there's a sorrow with it. But if you follow the peace, even if you're walking into danger, or what looks like danger, there's still peace. When Jesus went, he was led of the Holy Spirit to go to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He had peace, so he prepared himself. He fasted. He was dedicated to God, and he kicked the devil in the teeth. Every time the devil made his persuasive statements, Jesus used the word of God and countered it, and he bruised his head. And then the angels ministered to Jesus, because these persuasions were heavy. But when you love God, you don't receive the leaven of hatred. And so Jesus won that battle. And Kenneth Copeland said he did what Adam should have did. Adam ate off the tree. Jesus didn't. So Jesus defeated Satan. Satan couldn't defeat Jesus. But nothing he ever tried, he never could defeat him. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he stuck with what God said. And this is how determined you have to be when it comes to the things of God. You can't be double-minded about the things of God. And you have to measure. The bigger you measure it, the better it is for you. So, John, John is, this is St. John 14. Well, it kind of started with Philip. Philip, I'll start at verse 1. He said, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." You know, these many mansions, if you look up at the stars in heaven, you see all these stars, and around those stars are planets. And God is good, folks. And when people live in his way, spiritual wealth gets on their life. Just like spiritual wealth gets on God's life. Every time he makes planets and people, that's the laws of sowing and reaping and operations. So the wealth of doing good gets on God, and he does more. So it is with his people. So in his Father's house are many mansions. The places where the angels live, the people live. There are also, now Paul pointed out that there are celestial beings and terrestrial beings. Okay. So God's creation is huge. Yeah. And I'm saying this to inspire people to think big. The heavens is huge. And the will of God was in effect for a very long time. So people, the Lord told me in 94, I think it was, he said, "I'm still making planets and people." So he's still doing these things, and all, of all sorts. You know, some are terrestrial, some celestial. However God saw fit, he made, and they have places to live. That's why Jesus said this, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Then Thomas spoke up. "Hey, wait a minute, Jesus." Verse 5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, or from this point on, you know him and have seen him." That's a huge statement right there, verse 7. From this point on, you know him. You've been introduced. Verse 8, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and this satisfies us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been a long time with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" See, if you look at Adam, you see the Father too. Adam had to choose life every day, just like God did. And Jesus is the second Adam. He came and did it right, just like God does. Then he said in verse 10, Philip said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thee? How do you say then, show us the Father?" Then Jesus said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that lives in me, he do the works." See, that's the protocol of Jesus, and that should be the protocol of us. What God guides us to do, we should do. We should believe. Then Jesus said, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Then he said this, "Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." So expect to do greater things than Jesus did on earth. Though we'll never be greater than our master, but the works, just like our teachers, all the teachers, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Let me put it this way. I like illustrations. The apostles of now, well, the best apostles of now, the best prophets of now, the best evangelists of now, the best pastors of current times and the best teachers of current times, the people that hear them will do what they did, even though they may not have those callings. They'll have their teachings, and they'll be able to do greater things in greater measure. Just like the apostles of the first apostles, the average Christian can do what they did if they're students of the word and believe God. You don't have to have the calling. See, when a man of God preached the word is preached to everybody. Everybody that lived by that word is preaching that word. Everybody that received that word in their heart and they live it as a way of life, they're preaching, they're illustrating the word that they got from the pastor or the apostle or the prophet. When they tell somebody the testimonies, think about it. They are relaying what was taught to them. Even though they may not have a scholar's degree or whatever, but they took a portion of what they taught and they relay it to somebody that needed, and God will do a revival out of it. We have to learn to think big like God. The next generation, if we do our job, should always be successive. They should be able to do greater. Think about it this way. You can learn you can read everything that the apostles wrote in 1 or 2 days. Now, I used to listen to the New Testament, and I would start at Matthew and let it play out. And in many hours, I'd be way over here in Revelation. And you can listen to it. You can read it or listen to it. Within 2 days, I mean. And, when you get past the Gospels, it kind of flies by. Sometimes I start at Peter. Next thing you know, I'm in Genesis. So once you get past the Gospels, it flies by. And then the teachings of your pastors in current time, if you're paying attention and doing the word, you hear the word and you do the word, you apply it. You're able to learn what it took them years to learn. When Kenneth Hagin taught about authority, in 1 month, I knew about authority and I had used authority, but not on the level that I was about to. So I put it, let's go back to 1983 when Chris Lucas told me about authority. I studied it and I practiced it. And I used authority to get out of my trouble. I used authority, and it always worked. But when I listened to Kenneth Hagin for 30 days, and I gave the cassettes back to Mr. Austin, that's when the gunfights broke out. And they started having gunfights in the neighborhood. And the Lord prepared me for what was ahead. I was prepared. I didn't know I was prepared, but I spoke. I said, Satan, you can't kill anybody, and you can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. See, a few months before that happened, before I even listened to the authority of the believer, a little girl got killed in a nearby neighborhood. Two drug dealers got into it. They were shooting at each other, and a little girl got killed. That's why I said, Satan, you can't kill anybody, and you can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. Because the little girl got shot. Had nothing to do with their foolishness. So that's why I did it. I did it every time. That way the drug dealers didn't get to kill each other and they didn't kill an innocent person. And every time you act on the word of God and you solve problems like that, spiritual wealth gets on your life. Every time I heard an ambulance, I don't remember hearing an ambulance and not interceding. I would always pray for the people in need. If I heard any siren, I take authority over Satan and pray for the people in need. And for 6 years, nobody got killed. So I learned something from Kenneth Hagin that took him. You know, he went through what he went through. He had the vision. Then he had to learn to walk in it. I listened to him and I learned something. And I didn't have a choice about measuring it big. I had to do what I had to do, and it always worked. Eventually, I kind of mounted up with it. I started living, using authority as a way of life, and I stopped being nervous. At first, I was surprised. Then I got used to it. I started I went on a seat every weekend night before I go to bed. Because that's when the action would start. Usually off between Thursday and Sunday. So I lived that way, and it got easier and easier. Now, people that hear the word and apply and measure it at least enough to solve the problem, they'll mount up. And if you learn to measure the word of God big, you'll do greater works than Jesus did. And then we have a promise, verse 13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now, with the Holy Spirit, you can always mount up. You can always measure things big. You don't have to settle for worse. And religious doctrines and Greek and Hebrew translations, if it's not pure, it's not from God. If it's not easy to be entreated, it's still not from God. If it's with partiality and it's got hypocrisy in it, you know it's not of God. So, if you love Jesus, keep his commandments. He gave us all what we need. And he's going to back us up. It's to be understood that verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. It's understood that he's talking about pure things. He's not talking about satanic things. He's not talking about evil, lustful conditions and things like that. That's to be understood. But the things of God, you got it. You abide in him, he abide in it. He made it more plain in John 15. Now, back to Mark 4. 24, I think. Jesus said this here, and this is very important. Finally getting to what God wanted me to do in the first place. He said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said this, and take heed. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. So that's the role to do this. Take heed what you hear, and the way you measure, it'll be measured to you, and to you that hear shall more be given. So that's where you start. Heed what you hear. And if it's a topic that you never heard other preachers preach on, and it's something new to you, but it's important, and God revealed it to somebody else, that don't mean it's not of God. Now, I've seen many Christian people do this. If they never heard it from the pastor or the brain trust that they have, the people that they listen to, they become skeptical. But the things of God, the warnings of God, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Some things are not what you really want to know about, but God will show you anyway. He will show you people's hearts, for instance, how people feel. We to the pure, everybody's pure. The Lord gave me a dream about a pastor I know, and I love him. And on my part, we were friends, you know. But the Lord had revealed to me in those days that he don't want you to preach. And I'm like, why? You know, but I saw it in the dream. He showed me his heart. The Lord showed me his heart. So, because he's my friend, I told him about the dream. And you know what he said? You didn't preach either, did you? It was real. The Lord showed me, other people's hearts. And if God didn't do it, it would have hurt me because we were friends. But because the Lord did that, I understood it. He gave me another dream also. And you know, that was the one about the, I used to ask the Lord about other planets and things, people on other planets back in the early 90s. And he gave me this dream in 92. I mentioned it before, but anyway, I was with my, in this dream, I was in the army, and I had men under me. I was the captain, and we had Jeeps, not Humvees, but Jeeps, because that's all I had seen in them. I didn't know about Humvees yet in them days, but on my Jeep, that was like a machine gun, 50 caliber machine gun. And anyway, well, in the distance, it looked like an African plain with that tall 2 or 3 foot grass, you know, that the leopards jump over. And I saw, looked like 3 leopards jumping over the grass. But when they got closer, they weren't leopards, they were spiders. And they were about the size of a car. Legs spread out. And when I recognized that they were not leopards, I commanded my men to kill them because I didn't understand, you know, I was afraid. But before they webbed our weapons, and our eyes couldn't count fast enough to see them web our weapons. And the one that did that was gone. It was like he just disappeared and our weapons were webbed up. The other one passed by. Then the last one slowed down so we could see him. And his skin was beautiful. The color, about the color of a leopard. Yellowish orange color. Beautiful skin. Never seen nothing like that before on this planet. But anyway. But then this part, this is what validated it for me. His face. I saw the glory of God, and I felt the love of God come from this loving spider. It was a spider. They loved. They knew he wouldn't understand them when they were far away. So they grouped their legs together to look like 4, and they hopped over the grass like leopards. But when they got close, we knew what they were. So they knew what I was thinking. They webbed our weapons, and the last one showed us the love of God as he slowed down where we could see him good. And his skin was beautiful. And his face had the glory of God. You couldn't see his face for the glory of God. And his I could sense the love of God from him. And so when I woke up and after, you know, I understood by the Holy Spirit that just like God sent me to pastors, they feared me. Just like I feared those spiders. Because I didn't, you know, when you carry an anointing on your life, some people take, I don't know how, this was beyond my wheelhouse. The Lord had to give me something to go on. Because I was treated all kind of ways. I would write what God gave me at home. I write the word God gave me for these pastors at home. Now I go give it to them. And some of them received it. Some were receptive. Some were skeptical. You could just imagine how it was. Some people, they feared you. And I didn't understand that. And the Lord gave me something I had already been asking him about life on other planets. And he told me one day, he said, when I show you, he said, are you ready to see it? I said, yeah. And then I got scared because I didn't know what I was going to see. And he said, when I show you, he said, notice how they love each other. Notice how they work together. Notice the success they share. And every time he showed me something, I saw those aspects. There are people that never fail before. There are planets where they never fail and they continually live in the ways and glory of God. They're always learning and growing. So God had to cloak the planet. That planet don't look nothing like an African plain in our world. He won't show me, he never showed me the beauty, the glory of the whole planet, because I wouldn't want to, probably wouldn't want to live here anymore. So I'm serious. He told me that. He had to cloak it. He had to make that world look like ours, but he showed us something to get a point over. And also let me know, yes, I do create people on other in other realms. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit has to work with us to show us these things, because it's important. God loves us. Everything he do is pure. Everything he do is perfect. When we go forward in him, we can finish and complete a perfect work. We need to measure what God is doing big. We need to get it. Whatever he revealed to us, we need to measure it big. We need to see it like he does. We need to get what he's saying to us. And it's very important now, especially in a day where there are still people that are salvageable. Now, there are salvageable people, and there are people that's not salvageable. But the people that are salvageable, I have no intention to leave them here once God take us out. As we measure the word of God big, if we believe him and act on it, it mounts up. Everything of God mounts up. Expect the best. It can't mount up if you don't act on it. If you let it get away from you, if you let it get stolen, then you're not going to measure it big at all. You're going to forget about it. That be like a forgetful hero. Now consider these things, because others are depending on what we do today. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mighty move in and throughout our lives.